Observers of the Supreme Court say the retirement of Justice William O. Douglas will leave the court ideologically divided between four conservatives and four justices who compose the moderate liberal bloc. Douglas voted with the majority when the court, by a 5-4 vote in 1972, declared capital punishment to be unconstitutional. That decision is now up for a critical review. Sources suggest the justices may put it off pending the confirmation of Douglas's successor. Betty Ford's expressed intention to persuade the president to appoint the first lady justice has raised the question of whether Douglas may be succeeded by a woman. Correspondent Leslie Stahl asked Catherine Douglas how her husband might feel about that.
Well, certainly he'd be very favorably disposed to a woman being on the court. He is very much in favor of women participating in all areas of public life. But he also is known to say that being a woman doesn't shield you against mediocrity. So I think what he would really like is a person just of the highest legal caliber.
Mrs. Catherine Douglas. Correspondent Fred Graham reports that Secretary of Housing and Urban Development Carla Hills is one of the possible choices. The United States has challenged the members of the United Nations General Assembly to broaden their call for the release of political prisoners in South Africa and Chile to include all the countries of the world. The U.S. resolution was introduced today by Ambassador Daniel Patrick Moynihan, the ambassador saying that unless we care about political prisoners everywhere, we don't really care about them anywhere. Moynihan denied the U.S. move has anything to do with the Assembly's recent approval of an anti-Zionist resolution, but he did suggest that the issue of human rights is being perverted by some countries to undermine other countries which still observe human rights. A survey by Freedom House, a New York organization dedicated to human rights, indicates that many of the nations which supported the anti-Zionist resolution themselves hold political prisoners. The Freedom House survey says they include Algeria, Cuba, Jordan, Libya, Somalia, the Sudan, and Syria. Congressional conferees on a compromise energy bill have apparently reached agreement with the White House on a three-year formula for phasing out price controls on domestic oil. The apparent agreement would mean the end of a stalemate over energy policy that has lasted for nearly a year. Now this.
As new as this minute, it's Your Earth on the CBS Radio Network. I'm Nelson Benton, CBS News, keeping you up to the minute on our changing environment. With It's Your Earth, each Saturday on most of these stations. It's about the conservation of wildlife, about human life in our cities, about the protection of our resources and energy. In short, it's about the only planet we'll ever have. It's Your Earth, Saturday on most of these CBS Radio Network stations.
My daddy loves me. I went to the zoo once with him. We went to the park. He does nice things and stuff.
It's because it's a long ride and it's fun to go with your dad.
He's a tickle monster sometimes.
It takes so little of you to give so much to them. Give your children everything. Give them your time.
Make us happy.
A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons.
There's concern in Beirut, Lebanon, that the on-again, off-again street fighting between Christian and Muslim gunmen may soon be on again. A rash of revenge kidnappings are reported on both sides, and there were brief bursts of gunfire in several sections of the city. I'm Jerry Landay, CBS News.
CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI. The weather outlook calls for mostly cloudy skies tomorrow with chance of a little rain. Rain likely tomorrow night, increasing on Friday. The highs upper 50s tomorrow, cooling to the lower 50s on Friday, and lows in the mid-40s. And in downtown Seattle currently, it's 48 degrees, it's 43 at the airport. The barometer falling, it reads 30.02. Taking a look at sports in the National Basketball Association, the Kansas City Kings defeated the Seattle Supersonics tonight by a score of 107-92. Los Angeles over New Orleans, 116-100. Buffalo beat Houston 93-80, Atlanta 109, Detroit 106, and Milwaukee over Philadelphia 107-84. In the ABA, San Antonio 144, Virginia 112, Kentucky beat St. Louis 98-81, and Utah over the New York Nets 134-114. CBS Radio Mystery Theater is next on KIXI at 7 past 10.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... I'm E.G. Marshall. This is a story of something lost and never found again. A sad story. A strange story. But in no sense a warning. For certainly, no one of us listening could ever be caught up in such a set of circumstances. Or could we? How sure are any of us of our destiny?
Tom, take it easy.
I can't, Laura. You don't understand.
I don't know why not. I love you. Why can't I understand what possesses you?
There's no way to explain. It's just the devil that rides my tail.
Look out, Tom!
Hold on tight. Remember, I love you. It's better this way.
Our mystery drama, The Ghostly Rival, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Ian Martin and stars Will McKenzie. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Listerine Lozenges. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
For a lot of people, a full-size car is a downright necessity. Buick understands that, which is why they build Le Sabre, a car with lots of standard comfort and convenience, a big trunk, and honest-to-goodness elbow room for six. Buick Le Sabre, free spirit in the family size.
T has just been released from prison. He wants to be given a new chance, but he needs our help. The God we worship expects us to work with Larry T or anyone else who needs our time, our understanding. During our country's 200th birthday, join with others at your local church or synagogue and make plans and sacrifices to help relieve suffering. Welcome God to America's bicentennial. Practice what you pray. A message from Religion and American Life, the Ad Council, and the station.
For hundreds of years, alcoholic men and women have been scolded, denounced, beaten, lashed, pilloried, dunked, jailed, and of course threatened with eternal damnation. There is no evidence that any of these treatments ever resulted in a single cure. Why not? Simply because alcoholism is not a crime. It is not a moral weakness. It is an illness. An illness that can be treated successfully. What's more, alcoholism can often be prevented before it develops if we learn to recognize the early signs of drinking problems. After all these years, there ought to be better ways to treat alcoholism than punishing the alcoholic person. And of course, there are. For information or help, write Box 2345, Rockville, Maryland.
This message is a public service by this station and the National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism.
The crumpled remnants of the car are now a dying sheet of flame. The bright oranges of the fire smeared and dulled by the black smoke as rescue crews work. The man, mercifully thrown clear of the raging flames, his fall broken by the thick underbrush, lies still and limp as the ambulance crew pick him up and carry him to the waiting ambulance. It takes off immediately, and soon, within the city limits, the familiar whoop-whoop of warning clears the road in front of it. It strikes a note of doom to all who hear it. Then, suddenly, there is the muted quiet of the hospital.
Take him straight to emergency.
Yes, Doctor.
Superficial burns, possibly internal injuries, but main diagnosis is he was bitten by a Black Widow spider.
Yes, Doctor.
Ah, whoever's on duty can handle the surface stuff. Alert the neuro resident, whoever's on the psych side for the rest.
Can do, Dr. Peters. Did you sign him in?
Yeah, here are the papers. There's a woman with him, wife, I guess. She got caught in the car and burned to a crisp. Oh, his name is Cartwright. I guess kid glove treatment. He's one of them.
We treat them all the same.
That's a spirit, baby. Just the same, his family and in-laws did build a wing for dear old Central Hospital. All right, I'll see you in the snake pit later.
Hello? Peters?
Oh, yes, Dr. Mathias.
She put in a call for me?
Yes, Doctor. I got an accident case. No sweat, minor contusions and burns, but there are complications.
Involving a psychiatrist?
This one may involve half the staff. First off, the guy was apparently bitten by a Black Widow spider.
What? How do you know?
He was conscious when we brought him in. Told us himself. He got thrown clear of the car. He was the lucky one.
Well, there was someone else with him?
Yes, Doctor. His wife totaled with the car.
Oh, how awful.
They hit the guy pretty hard. Although he wasn't all that with it when we brought him in. Because apparently his wife was going to have a baby.
Oh, how hard can you get hit? Tell me, how bad is the spider bite?
Well, that's kind of out of my backyard, but according to Doc Stearns in toxicology, there isn't much to do but wait and see.
Well, as I remember, it's seldom fatal, but it takes a long time for the poison to attack the system, and the pain is excruciating if and when it does.
Now, this poor guy's ready to flip his lid. Mm-hmm. I mean, he goes through the guardrail 200 feet into the valley, kills his wife and unborn child, and turns up without a scratch.
Yes, except the spider bite.
Yeah, that. Well, what's that next to losing your wife, your kid, and maybe your future?
You're not asking me, Dr. Peters. You're telling me. And that is my job to discover and to heal, if I can. Good day, Mr. Cartwright.
Well, what's your specialty? If you're a doctor.
I am. I'm a psychiatrist.
Oh. Well, that's different.
No, not really. Just another phase of medicine.
I hope not. I mean, I hope enough different. I've been wanting to ask for someone like you. I've got to talk to someone who might possibly understand.
Understanding, I can promise you absolutely. But, well, at least I listen well.
The best I can ask for. No one will believe me. I am trapped as thoroughly as that horrible thing in the bottle I let escape. But I have to keep hoping that somehow I can find escape, too.
Well, let's see if we can't begin by making a start at it, at least.
How open is your mind?
Well, I don't know. It's pretty open, I should hope.
You know who I am.
You were admitted to the hospital as Thomas Cartwright III.
That's who I appear to be. Have you ever heard of a Terry Connolly who is buried in the graveyard behind St. Stephen's and whose headstone reads, "Born 42951, died 81673?
Well, should I have?
Yes. Because that's who I really am.
How do I answer that? You consider yourself already dead?
Condemned.
Why?
Because I sold my soul.
That's rather a wild statement. You mean like Dr. Faustus to the devil?
I mean like that.
Well, and I hope by all means you're going to tell me about it.
You still think I'm Thomas Cartwright III?
Well, to all intents and purposes, plus your public identity and all the private contents of your wallet, and also your wife's identification, of course you are.
I couldn't possibly be Terence Connolly, could I?
No, I don't even know him.
Then may I introduce myself? Not my outward appearance, but what lives within the outer shell?
Suppose I accept that claim. Can you prove it?
Can you listen to a sort of complex story?
You have the floor.
Okay. Let's start it this way. You're looking right at me. Now, I'll even give you a better opportunity.
I really don't think you should get out of bed.
Well, I'll get right back in. Now, I'm standing. How do I look?
Oh, young man, his early 20s. A little bit overweight. Brown eyes, dark brown hair, slightly receding, and some evidence of dissipation. Height about 5'10". Is that enough?
It'll do. 2 years ago, I had blue eyes and sun-bleached hair. I was 6'1", 185, All muscle. Here, I'll show you. In my wallet is... Yes, this was the last snapshot I ever had taken. Laura took it. You see?
Well, this would be the Terry Connolly that you mentioned, hmm?
That's right.
With a surfboard. A hobby?
My life. That was at Makaha, the Internationals. It was where I met Laura, and the first change in my life happened.
You fell in love?
You wouldn't think it to look at her, but she can hang 10 with any surf cat. Only by her, it was just a sport, for kicks, not a way of life. Now, that shook me. I suddenly woke up to the fact that I was nothing better than a surf bum.
Oh, well, so you gave up surfing?
Not exactly. I came back to L.A. Laura's from here. Well, from Santa Barbara. And since we wanted to get married, I had to find something to do to make a living. There was this kid I knew. We'd surfed at 100 beaches ever since we were in junior high. Only he'd busted up a leg pretty bad on a flip-out at Monterey. He had a little stake, so we opened a kind of surfboard rental shop. You know, with skin diving gear, other stuff, snorkels and all. And I went in with him, giving surfboard lessons on the side. It wasn't bad, but you couldn't make much. You know how rich Laura's family was. So, she came up with a better idea. I don't know, Laura. I just don't know if I could go that route.
Oh, don't get all uptight on me. It's only money.
Yours, not mine.
Ours, darling, once we're married.
I don't want to live off you.
Now, that isn't the question. I want you to live with me. And I also want to be supported in somewheres near the style to which I am accustomed. You're not going to be able to do that, being a half-baked beach boy.
Oh, thanks for the way you size me up.
Oh, there's no big problem, Terry. Let's be practical. You got your college degree and decided to take a year off because you wanted to prove there wasn't a wave that swept in on any shore you couldn't master. But you said yourself, after Spud got all busted up, you bought it. You want to be a doctor. Okay. You've had pre-med. You just go on using my dough, and when you get to be a rich orthopedist, I'll make you pay and pay and pay.
I don't know if I can cut it after being a dropout.
You can cut anything you want to, Terry.
What about your father?
Well, I've been breaking him down bit by bit. He's not all that tough.
And how about my rival, Mr. Flab-bellied Moneybags?
Tom Cartwright. That isn't fair, Terry. He's just very different from you.
He sure is. Several million bucks worth.
Family money. He didn't earn it the way you're going to. Oh, Terry.
What?
I love you. You're what I want.
Your father will never buy it.
I told you I've been working on him. I've even got this far. You're invited to dinner this Friday to meet him.
You mean so he can look me over?
Well, that's fair enough, isn't it?
Sure. If you were my daughter, I'd make damn well sure I got a good look at anything chasing you.
Well, that's a good one, young fella. I'll have to remember it to liven up one of our board meetings.
Oh.
Well, you can put the brandy and two glasses on the table, George. And, Laura?
Yes, Daddy?
Why don't we have coffee out in the solarium? There's still plenty of light to admire the view.
All right, I'll have George set us up there.
And, all right, now, you go along, Superintendent, will you, dear?
Mm-hmm.
I think Terry and I have a couple words to exchange.
Okay, Dad, but you won't be long, will you?
Oh, no.
I'm the only lady for the gentleman to join.
No time at all. Well, you'll have some brandy, Terry?
Oh, I'm not much of a drinker, sir.
How much?
Beg pardon, sir?
Well, you heard me.
How much to what?
To get out of my daughter's life, leave her alone. Am I the kind of man I think she should?
Someone with plenty of money.
Well, it should be one of the requirements. One that you don't have.
I've got a better one. She loves me.
I don't know. Out of sight, out of mind. Now, how much, Mr. Beach Boy, to take your bedroll and go follow the waves instead of the most precious possession I have?
How about a nickel?
I don't understand you.
Ah, it's obvious how cheap you consider me. I thought I'd just keep the price in line.
Okay. I'll score you one for guts anyway. But it won't help you. I know who I want Laura to marry, and so does she, and that's the way it will turn out.
You may be in for a very unpleasant surprise.
I doubt it. I offered you money to get out of your own free will. And it'll probably cost me less to have you removed, if that's the way you want us.
You've got to be kidding.
I don't make jokes. And we put it quite simply, Beach Boy. If you don't bow out gracefully, I will make certain arrangements to have you, if you'll excuse the expression, rubbed out. I'll give you 24 hours to think it over.
John Sherman Blake, chairman of more boards than we have time to list. Inherited money and accrued money, position, power. The man who holds all the cards, and who, in the long tradition of robber barons, never hesitates to use any lever to secure his ends. But murder? Even secondhand? Is that how Terry Connolly reached such an early grave? I'll return shortly with Act Two.
There's no place like Singer, and no time like now to save.
And right now, you can save on Singer's famous zigzag machine. Sale priced at just $119.95. It has a front drop-in bobbin and a built-in blind stitch to let you make hems that barely show. And it's on sale now, just
$119.95. There's no place like Singer.
Suffering succotash, I'm on radio. Hi, I'm Mel Blanc, and that's another of my thousand voices. And that's why they asked me to tell you about Lemon Mint Listerine Lozenges.
Because, my little pomegranate, when your throat is hot and dry from a cold, they make it feel cool and soothed.
And Listerine's anesthetic medicine helps give fast, beep, beep, temporary relief from minor sore throat pain. Lemon Mint Listerine Lozenges. No matter how many voices you've got, you've only got one throat.
So get Listerine Lozenges, folks.
Use only as directed.
Well, this is Beverly Sills. Did you know that of all the arts, music is the only one in which a blind person can participate freely in spite of blindness? However, even in music, the blind need special help in order to stand on an equal footing with the sighted. The Lewis Braille Foundation for Blind Musicians works to promote the interests of the blind in the field of music. The foundation, a national nonprofit organization, urgently needs your financial help. The services of the Lewis Braille Foundation are available to any blind person and provide auditions, evaluations and counseling, scholarship aid, paid engagements for qualified musicians, and transcription of music into Braille. The foundation depends solely on the public for its support. Send your tax-deductible gifts to the Lewis Braille Foundation, 112 East 19th Street, New York, 10003. If you know a musically gifted blind person who needs help, please contact the Lewis Braille Foundation at area code 212-982-7290.
For a moment, as though exhausted, the pale young man in the hospital bed has shut his eyes, leaning back against the pillows. Dr. Mathias, the psychiatrist, eyes him carefully and then speaks quietly.
Perhaps, Mr. Cartwright, we should let you rest for a little while before you continue.
Rest, doctor? I haven't known any rest since...
Oh, since the night you were telling me about?
Yes. I didn't go out to the solarium to have coffee. With Mr. Blake's ultimatum facing me, I went straight for my old beat-up car and took off. I had to think, clear my mind. Best place for me to do that is riding a wave. So, I headed for the beach. I always keep my gear in the back of my bus. The nearest beach was old Deep Six. Unless you had an attack of the crazies, nobody rode the junk that came in there. Rocky bottom, narrow reefs on both sides, and a crisscross that really chopped up the rides. Well, that suited me just fine. I wanted to risk my neck. It might be the answer. I took a heavy board because the wind was high, paddled myself out over the breakers, and waited for the big one. I saw a Hummer coming. I waited. Then I raced to stay ahead of the crest. She broke pretty. Then it happened. Kip back. A rip current broke her wide open. She collapsed on me, driving my board the Lord knows how high in the air and grinding me down and under, rolling and tumbling until I hit my head and went out like the light above me over the sea under which I was buried. What is it?
Who? Oh. Who is it? Oh.
I'm released you from my prison, and I can grant you anything you want.
Anything?
You have only to name it, and it is yours.
I was bruised and battered, half conscious. By luck, the tide had been going out. And I had been left lying stranded, face down in the rough sand, above the tide's edge. It was almost dark. Beside my head lay a dark green bottle washed up by the waves. And from it, the voice I heard. Or did I really hear it? Was it just some sounding in my half-conscious head? It seemed to be coming muffled. From the bottle.
Who are you?
Who I am, that is little. What has an effect if you free me is another matter.
You're inside the bottle?
Yes. But I have no power. Freed, my power is limitless. For my freedom, ask what you want. Power, honor, fame, knowledge, riches.
On what condition?
I ask none.
Are you sure? Or are we just kicking around the old Faust dream? Your freedom for mine.
I said there were no conditions. Open this battle and let me out. And I grant you whatever one wish you desire.
Okay, you got it. It's only a dream. Oh, there is no way I can dig this cork out. Okay, scrooge up in the bottom and look out for flying glass. Here goes! The moment the bottle broke, a great, hairy, black spider with a red hourglass mark on its belly burst from the sharded remains of the neck. For a moment, it teetered on its long, jointed, multiple legs. And then, a second transformation took place. Almost as though it had exploded, the spider blew up into a giant of a man, with a bald head bristling dark blue from shaving, and a body covered with tangled black hair. Dressed conventionally enough, in blue jeans, just like I wear normally.
I am your servant, sir.
Who are you?
I am whoever you want me to be. But that is of little importance for the moment. You kept your part of the bargain. Now, I keep mine. Ask anything you want of me. One request. No strings. Choose.
All right. I'm too tired and chopped up to debate the point. You ask me what I want, I'll make it within reason. More wealth than the father of the girl I want to make my own. Enough more so so that he cannot keep us apart.
Granted. You've made your choice.
I had the feeling of having been asleep for a long time when I woke up. Without remembering why, I had this idea I should be hurting all over. But it wasn't like that. I felt like I was floating on a cloud. The bed, if it was a bed, didn't support me. I just sort of hovered in space by myself. I didn't want to open my eyes. I didn't want to come back to reality. This was too plush, too out of this world. Very slowly, I opened my eyes.
Good morning, sir. Would you like to breakfast or bathe first?
Who are you?
Oh, dear. Mr. Cartwright had a big party last night.
I've got a headache like someone hit me with a sandbag.
That's right. You have a bruise on your forehead. Do you want ice?
No. I just want to know where I am.
At home. In your own bed.
That's crazy. I don't feel that way. I don't belong here.
Now you do.
Huh?
You made one request to be richer, richer than the father of the girl. Now you are.
Wait a minute. My first question was right. Who are you?
We met last night. You made a request. It has been granted. A few hours ago, it was recorded in the book that Thomas Cartwright III died of a sudden, massive, unexpected heart attack. At the same time, a young man whose main interest was surfing was the victim of a drowning accident on a nearby beach. Your body lies there among the debris of the tide. In this bed is the body of Tom Cartwright, miraculously recovered from a vascular and cardiac accident. And within the shell of the body, within its cocoon, not Tom, but Terry, lives on. Thus, I kept my promise.
How can I be what I'm not?
Who is to know the difference?
Oh, to begin with, I never saw this Cartwright guy.
Rise, master, and look at yourself in the dressing room mirror, or even the full-length glass, here, on the closet door.
I don't think I want to look.
Sooner or later. Better now, when we're alone.
I'm on my feet.
Oh, Lord. Everything has changed. Is that really me? That is what you asked to be. Richer than the father of the girl you wished to own.
But I didn't ask to be someone else. I don't even know the man. How can I take his place?
Let me arrange that, master.
But you can't be with me every moment. Don't I have a business, go to work?
Most fortunately, you are now on vacation. Most of it you plan to spend on your boat. You have few social engagements, except, of course, tonight.
Tonight?
Yes. Tonight, you are dining with Mr. Sherman Blake and his daughter.
He was ripped apart at the thought. To sit at dinner again with Laura and her father. This time, what would you call me? A half-man or a double imposter? How could I carry it off? And yet I knew I couldn't refuse the invitation.
Laura, I know it's not an easy evening, but life must go on. George, I think some more wine.
No, not for me, thanks.
I'll skip it, too.
Dear me. What can I say?
The least the better, Daddy.
As you wish.
A terrible accident.
Yes, it was so wasteful. A fine young man.
Why would he take a chance as he did in that riptide with such a broken surf?
Maybe you could answer that, Daddy.
Me?
When you shooed me out to set up coffee, what did you say to Terry? You touted him off. You made it impossible for him to even think we could ever be... Excuse me, I've got...
I'm sorry about that, Tom.
Oh, nothing to be sorry about. I understand.
You do?
Yes, sir. With your permission, sir, I'd like to talk to Laura alone.
Well, yes, by all means. I hope you can bring her back to her senses. You know you have my blessing.
Yes, sir. I know.
Why don't you leave me alone?
Laura, please.
Don't you even have one small speck of sensitivity in that mean, rotten little soul of yours?
I only wanted to tell you something.
There's nothing you can tell me that I want to hear.
I'm just trying to explain
that...
Before
I met Terry, you explained again and again that you were not what you seemed, a conceited, pawing slob who reached for any woman as though it was his divine right.
But what I'm trying to say is that I'm not like that anymore.
Don't make me laugh. We've been down this route before, Tom. There's no way, now that I've known what a real man can be, that you could ever turn me on.
I wouldn't dream of trying now. I'm sorry, Laura. Except, I wish I could tell you how sorry I am about what happened to your Terry.
Oh, thank you. Oh, it doesn't even sound like you. I wish I could believe it.
You can. I'm not quite the heel you make me out to be. I may have been once, but not anymore. Now I'll leave you alone. I just wish...
Wish what?
Well, I just wish I could comfort you some way.
Well, I don't see how. Thank you for wanting to, Tom. It's so funny, but all night since you came to dinner, there does seem to be something different about you. I don't know what or why.
Because I have changed, Laura. Give me a chance to prove that. With time, I think you'll find I'm not the hopeless case you've written me off as. I had found out two things. The first... that Terry Conley was dead. And the other, that I, or Terry, had given up his life for nothing. I went roaring home in my newly acquired Ferrari to face Aki, or whoever he was, with a new decision. I want to go back. I don't want the money or this flabby, jaded body.
So sorry. It's not possible. One wish only. And that has been granted.
But I didn't know I'd have to give up my life for it.
Please, allow me to point out, you still live. Only outward identity has changed.
It's the same thing. As long as I seem to be Tom Cartwright, the girl I want and love won't look at me, won't have anything to do with me.
Patience, Master. You will see. All will turn out right. It is written... you will be married. Now, I must leave. You need me again. Go to the sea and find the bottle again.
From the impassive Oriental's head, a great jagged streak of fire exploded and disappeared. I realized that I had not been talking with Aki, but with what? A minor demon. Or the devil himself. What did it matter? He had brought me to where I was. And where was that? Was I dead? Or was I alive?
For a moment, the pale, tortured young man in the hospital bed stops his story. to shut his eyes as if against a wave of excruciating pain. The psychiatrist, listening to him, is tempted to react compassionately, but for the moment he waits. The pain may be less physical than mental, and the harrowing story is not yet ended. I'll return shortly with Act 3.
You've worked hard to get where you are, and now would be a very good time to give yourself a little pat on the back in the form of Buick Electra, a car filled with room, luxury, comfort, the perfect place for you and your free spirit to get together. Buick Electra. Think of it as recognition for a job well done.
This is Anita Bryant. Performing is a very exciting part of my life, and I also love coming home to a caring husband and four active, growing children. I count being a wife and mother as one of my most challenging opportunities. I'm glad to be a wife, and I feel good being a mother.
You are a worthwhile person. Cultivate your God-given talents as you choose your lifestyle. This affirmation of women shared by the Mennonite churches.
This week, as always, Tradewell has some excellent big T buys. One is fresh boneless pork shoulder butt roast, featured at just $1.29 a pound. Another is Starkist chunk style tuna at a very special price of only 44 cents for a 6.5 ounce can. You'll enjoy it in salads and sandwiches, as well as many casseroles. And for steak lovers, what could be better than tender, juicy beef steak? Tradewell has this favorite at a super low price. It's not just ordinary steak, it's USDA Choice Beef Boneless Top Sirloin, just $2.28 a pound. You'll find many more money-saving values in this week's Tradewell ad. You can also see a list of stores that I'll be visiting. I'm Eileen, Tradewell's Director of Customer Services, and I hope to see you at your Tradewell store. Tradewell does help you feed your family better for less.
The wave of pain, whether caused by the spider bite or some deeper echo from the soul, has passed. But the young man in the bed still lies with his eyes closed. The nurse coming into the room is quickly pantomimed to silence by the psychiatrist. She stops with the tray containing the hypodermic and the phial of morphine. Quietly, Dr. Mathias goes to her.
Dr. Peters ordered a hypo for him, Dr. Mathias.
Well, I don't think he needs it yet. Now, if it becomes necessary, I'll give it to him.
Yes, doctor.
Mr. Cartwright?
Yes.
Are you all right?
Yes.
Do you have any pain?
Pain? Oh, I'll never be without it.
I can give you a needle if you want.
No. No. No drug will reach the pain that really haunts me. I want to finish my story.
Yes, very well. Let's continue.
It was her father who dragged me back into the whole mess. He came to see me at my house, and he didn't mince words.
You can't leave me hanging like this. I have a deadline to meet.
Yes, I know.
Well, are you coming in with me or aren't you?
I haven't made up my mind yet.
Oh, good Lord, man, you can't put me off. I'm on the edge of the precipice. I foolishly overextended. I have no cash flow, and if the banks ever get wind of that, the whole thing would collapse like a house of cards.
And how much is it you want to borrow?
It's got to be a couple of million, at least. Now, we have been over this before.
And the security.
We've discussed that before, too.
You mean Laura?
Yes.
Except that she happens to be a security that you can't deliver.
That's where you're wrong. I have only to tell her the truth about my business problems, and she would agree to marry you.
A lamb to the slaughter.
What'd you say?
Doesn't matter. All right, Sherman. Or perhaps I should say, Dad. You've got a deal. Laura, for whatever you need, up to what I've got.
You'll never regret this, son.
And so you were married?
Yes, not quite 2 years ago.
It was a bad marriage?
No. No, not for the most of it. At the beginning, for the best part of the first year, it was uneasy and difficult. But slowly, slowly things began to change. I wanted to tell Laura the truth, what really had happened. But how could I? She would have thought me absolutely mad, out of my skull. Then, as the months passed, I began to see it looked as though I'd never have to. I remember one night, after a party, going to bed.
How many people do you suppose were at that party tonight?
I don't know. A couple of hundred, maybe.
And how many men?
You think I count them?
No, no, I'm serious, darling.
Darling?
That's what I said.
Oh. Men. I don't know. I guess when Stanton throws the ball, there are more men than dames. What's the difference?
I just wanted to tell you something. No matter how many there were, I'd have taken my man over any guy there.
Laura.
Yes. That's the way it's gotten to be with me now.
That was the beginning of our whole new relationship. At first, I basked in it, gloried in it, ate it up. And then?
Yes, Mr. Cartwright. And then?
And then another crazy thing was happening inside. Can you imagine a man being jealous of himself? I was two people in one body, both of whom loved the same woman. One was dead, except his soul lived on inside this body. Who was it Laura really loved? Me, Terry, the scatterbrain, the live-for-the-moment guy? Or Tom, the percentage man, the cool cat with the morals of one and a built-in gift for destruction?
Is that what you tried to solve?
That's what I had to solve. Because...
Because?
Because so very soon after Laura and I had found each other, she became pregnant. Whose child had been created? Mine? I mean, Terry's? Or Tom's? I mulled over. I agonized over what the future held. And at last, I had to decide. I had to make some attempt to find out.
But how can we? You know, we're only human. We can't foretell the future.
I could. I remembered what the spirit had told me. To seek him, go to the sea. Again it was late in the day, and again it was old Deep Six. Beyond the surf, I waited for the wave. I was king, invincible, hanging ten. Suddenly, before I could move back, the wave broke upon me. The wild cross rip snatched my board and threw it sky high, and I was ground down under the mad swirling of the breaking water below. I came to again, lying on the tide's edge, just as I had done so many months ago. The child.
It is the child.
I suddenly realized what a fool I was. You asked nothing from me for what I wanted. But what about my children?
What did you imagine? The world on a silver plate without any return?
But you promised it was not the old Dr. Faust's gag.
Naturally. We progress. Things change. Your soul had no interest for me. Only your offshoot. Your children from here on. And into time, as long as they shall live.
That's the answer to everything.
Why I came back, ready to strangle the woman I loved, so she could never bear a child that would foster the dynasty of the devil.
But you didn't strangle her.
No, because when I got home, Laura was half out of her wits. She had found that a black spider with an hourglass shape on its belly had been weaving or spinning a web over the crib we had waiting in the nursery to receive our baby when it was born.
Well, then what happened?
I started to push aside the web, but it clung to me. And as I tried to brush it off, suddenly the spider was clinging to my wrist, and I could feel its bite, sharp and penetrating, and I could hear a voice in my ear.
You cannot win, my friend. I gave you freedom, but in return, you sold to me your children and your children's children till the end of time.
You accepted that?
Never! Never! I took Laura with me to the car. The excuse for our wild ride, that I had to get to the hospital to get an antitoxin for the bite of the Black Widow.
Take it easy, darling.
I can't. You don't understand.
I love you so. I don't understand what obsesses you.
There's no way to explain. It's just that the devil rides on tape. Hold tight. And remember, I love you. This is the best way out.
You remember. You know that Laura is,
is dead. Why not me? What was I saved for?
That's a question that can't be answered.
Oh, yes. I see now. It's all clear. You.
What?
In another form. The Antichrist. The enemy. I can do nothing else.
Mr. Kai,
I can kill you!
Yes, I can!
I mean, I want to help you!
Dr. Peter!
Okay. I don't need any medicine. I need to handle this.
That's an unusual case, only because of the violence involved. There's not much to say about it, Dr. Peters.
Except I'd like to try to understand it.
That would take volumes. A classic world of delusions.
Everything?
It's very little missing. There was love broken off. There was a child that might have been born. There was a man already beyond the norm of society who thought he was doing the right thing in destroying himself, his wife, and his unborn child.
And we just write him off, Doctor?
No. We write no one off. We probe as much as we can. We try to resolve what we can. There's still cases beyond all our knowledge. And someday, we may solve them.
Don't look to me for any answers. This is the story of what happened, or appeared to. I know no other way than to leave it at that. Unless someone can tell me more than I can understand. I'll be back shortly.
Hi, this is Carol Burnett. Adolf Hitler came to power in 1933 and made life miserable for people in Germany. And that's why the International Rescue Committee, the IRC, was formed. It began by helping refugees from Hitler's Germany and went on to help millions more in World War II. But its work didn't end there because war and oppression didn't end there. You remember the brave Hungarians who stood up to the Russians in 1956? Well, IRC helped many who escaped. And since then, IRC has come to the aid of thousands who have escaped from Cuba, China, East Germany, Russia, or wherever freedom is pretty much of a meaningless word. It also does its work in countries ravaged by war. But IRC needs money for food, clothing, and medical care, to reunite families, to find people jobs, and homes for children without homes. So please, help the people who help. Send your money to this address, International Rescue Committee, Box 16, Times Square Station, New York City, New York, 10036.
There isn't much to say about this particular tale, except that he who traffics with the devil must be prepared to pay the price. A sad and terrible price for all who are involved, except John Sheldon Blake, who was really the most to blame. He was the only one to survive, since Tom Cartwright, or whoever he truly is long since committed to an institution. John Sheldon Blake is also committed to an institution, except that he remains free. Funny how the establishment has a habit of winning. When come right down to it, they're the ones who are really mad. Our cast included Will McKenzie, Marion Seldes, Robert Dryden, and Earl Hammond. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
Emily? Emily? Is that you?
You shouldn't be here, my love. You mustn't be here in this place.
Where am I, Anne? What is this place?
No place for the living. Return to life.
Why can't I see you?
Joss, you must stop thinking about me. You must.
Why don't you ask me to stop breathing?
Oh, my love, I'm not asking you to forget me. I wouldn't ever want you to do that. But you must stop thinking of me as if I were alive.
But you are alive to me, Em. You always will be.
I can't be, Joss. Please, you must go for your own sake. Goodbye, Joss. I love you, darling. Goodbye.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by your Singer Sewing Center. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
CBS 4 Seattle, this is KIXI. The weather outlook calls for mostly cloudy skies tomorrow with chance of a little rain, rain likely tomorrow night, increasing on Friday. The highs in the upper 50s tomorrow, cooling to the low 50s on Friday, and lows in the mid-40s. In downtown Seattle, it's currently 48 degrees, 43 at the airport.
Can hear the difference. Bright and beautiful music. KIXI, Seattle.
CBS News is next on KIXI. It's 11 o'clock.
CBS News, a kidnapping for ransom case in suburban Detroit. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. The son of a General Motors executive was kidnapped on Monday. He was safely released Wednesday night after his father paid a $150,000 ransom. There was a complete news blackout on the case until the boy was freed. 13-year-old Timothy Stemple, whose father is the director of engineering at Chevrolet, was abducted Monday afternoon near his Bloomfield Hills, Michigan home. Lieutenant Don Zimmerman of the Bloomfield Township Police tells about the ransom payment and the release of the boy.
The money was dropped. At 9:12 or thereabouts, the money was picked up. And then we waited, and then at 10:35, Timothy called his father, stating he had just walked into a hospital, Wayne County General Hospital. He seemed fatigued but alert, and his dad said that he'd be down to get him.
Zimmerman says police are beginning a thorough investigation of the kidnapping. More news in a moment.
Camp Martin, Little League coach. How do you spell relief?
When I get acid indigestion, I spell relief R-O-L-A-I-D-S, Rolaids.
Missy Smith, switchboard operator.
For gas, I spell relief R-O-L-A-I-D-S.
Rolaids spells relief. Each Rolaids consumes 47 times its weight in excess stomach acid. Captain Allen, helicopter pilot, how do you spell relief?
For heartburn, R-O-L-A-I-D-S.
Rolaids spells relief. Use only as directed.
I might be saving my buddy's life. That's him sleeping on my couch. I said, Teddy, no way you're driving home. You had too much to drink. He said, a couple of beers. Give me some coffee. I said, Teddy, 9 beers. That could be like 9 mixed drinks. And coffee's not going to sober you up. Park yourself here. I finally convinced him. I hid his car keys. Sleeping Beauty's going to have some head in the morning. But I'm going to feel terrific.
Friends don't let friends drive drunk. A public service message on behalf of the U.S. Department of Transportation.
William O. Douglas is planning to hold a news conference in the morning to discuss his resignation from the United States Supreme Court. Citing ill health, the 77-year-old Justice Douglas submitted his resignation Wednesday to President Ford. Justice Douglas served on the High Court for 36 years, longer than any other man. A report on what this could mean to the court from Fred Graham.
The resignation of Justice Douglas from the Supreme Court removes the most consistently liberal vote from the court, and also the strongest intellectual force on such issues as freedom of speech, freedom of the press, and the right to dissent. The court has not been as sharply split along 5-4 liberal-conservative lines in recent years as in the past, because the 4 conservative Nixon appointees have frequently lined up with some of the conservative holdovers, leaving Justice Douglas often in the minority. But on a few issues, the court was split 5-4, with Douglas holding the key 5th vote. The court has been holding more than a half dozen of these cases in limbo, waiting to see what Justice Douglas would do. The most important of these is the issue of capital punishment. With Douglas on the court, it would likely have been declared unconstitutional by a 5-4 vote. And now his replacement could turn that around. Fred Graham, CBS News, Sacramento.
The United States on Wednesday introduced a resolution in the United Nations General Assembly's Social Committee calling for the release of all political prisoners everywhere in the world. U.S. Ambassador Daniel Moynihan spoke on behalf of the resolution he introduced.
The list of known prisoners, a list by organizations assembled by organizations such as Amnesty International, is a sufficiently long and harrowing one, but there's far more horror to be felt at the thought of the names we do not know. It is time to free these men and these women. The time for this amnesty is past due, and the path long. Let us take the first step here and now.
Moynihan also told the UN that unless we care about political prisoners everywhere, we don't care about them anywhere. Now this.
Every dog loves to chew, loves to sink his teeth into hearts chews from hearts. What a treat, what a prize, dogs of every shape and size love hearts chews from hearts.
There's a huge selection of hearts chews for your dog. Rawhide bones, chew sticks, and chew toys too. So satisfy his urge to chew. Get hearts chews now.
Won't splinter like real bones do. Good, good chewing through and through. Get hearts chews from hearts.
Hi, I'm Mike Rohr.
And Honey Bracken with him with a preview of good things happening on the Cook Thing tomorrow.
Sure, we'll give you the fruitcake recipe with spices and nuts and everything else. Mm. And then, of course, you soak them in booze from now till Christmas, and you got perfect fruitcakes. That's why you make them early.
Wait a minute now, till Christmas. Christmas is 7-8 weeks away.
That's what makes them good. They age and they season, and I tell you, I don't
Maloney, you just want to get into the cooking, Sherry.
Ah, you found me out.
I tell you, Fran, I don't know what we're going to do with them on the Cook Thing tomorrow here on CBS. Yes.
Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin of Israel Wednesday called for an emergency meeting of world Jewish leaders to be held before the end of this month in Jerusalem. Rabin is calling the session to discuss a worldwide campaign against diplomatic and political attacks on Zionism. Rabin acted following the vote by the UN General Assembly this week, declaring Zionism to be a form of racism. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
CBS 4 Seattle, this is KIXI at 6 past 11.